my guest is Gil Fink. Gil, how you doing?
How are you doing? What's
Welcome.
Up?
Welcome. I'm having a great time recording Technology and Friends here in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Okay.
You came a long way to be here. Where are you from?
Israel.
Israel. And what are you doing with Israel?
I'm a senior architect working for a company called Sela Group. We're an international company. We have branches in Seattle, in Toronto, in India, in Singapore. And the HQ is located in Israel.
Ah. You know, I think I'm approaching episode 300, and I don't think I've ever had an Israeli on my show.
Okay.
So
good
you're
to be the first
one. And you do a lot of web development, right?
Yeah.
A lot of client-side web development.
Lately, yes, but I'm a senior architect.
Okay.
I'm working for big companies in Israel. I'm a full-time consultant. Going from one project to another. I have a major client, but I can't talk about it.
Okay.
It's a little bit secured.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sorry. Mainly I'm doing web development projects and things like that. And I'm a Microsoft ASP.NET MVP.
Okay. And I saw, the reason I said that is because I know here at Dev Connections you did three talks, all of which revolved around web development, and most of which were on client side or JavaScript focused.
So in the last couple of years, I made a transition from writing full-time C# code into writing full-time JavaScript code.
Mm.
I'm still writing C#, but less, mainly with ASP.NET. Most of the apps that I'm writing right now are single-page applications that includes a lot of JavaScript interactions or using a lot of new APIs presented by HTML5.
Let's talk about the new HTML5 APIs, because there's so many of them that I think a lot of developers, they recognize how useful they are, but they're kind of overwhelmed by just the sheer number.
Yeah, the number is increasing day by day.
Where is it now?
I don't know. I didn't count it lately, but the last time that I've counted the number of JavaScript APIs in HTML5, it was 58.
58.
Different new APIs. Yes.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Let's narrow it down. Let's just talk about a few of them, okay? So a few very useful ones that you found.
Okay, so In Dev Connections, I had a talk about storage APIs.
Okay.
I've focused the talk about into three main APIs in the storage and offline section in HTML5, and the talk was introduced web storage, which is a string-based dictionary that can hold up to 5 megabytes in the client side.
So sharing is just name value pairs.
Yeah, name value pair, and that's all. But you can store objects also in web storage because you can stringify and parse them back and forth.
Okay.
This is the using JSON format to stringify the object that you want to save, and later on you just parse them. The second API that I talked about was App Cache or Application Cache. App Cache is the nickname.
Okay.
It is a way to create offline web applications. You use a manifest file that has sections for things that you want to cache, things that you want to fall back if you try to do something that is not relevant to the cache, and things that you need network for them. So once you have that manifest and you point the HTML file that you have to this manifest in the server, then what you get is an offline behavior. That means that you don't have HTTP caching, you have an application cache which will cache all the relevant data that you wrote in the manifest.
So the manifest is a file on disk, is that right?
Yeah, it's a file on the server.
Okay, and it gets downloaded with your page?
It has to have a strict format.
Okay.
It starts with cache manifest.
I see.
Once you create that manifest, you need to use the content type text/manifest.
Okay.
Sorry, text/cache manifest.
So along with requesting a page, you're also requesting this manifest file
as
well.
Yeah, yeah. After the page is loaded, you put on the HTML element an attribute called manifest to point out where is the manifest located.
And then it will request.
And then it will do another request to the manifest, and it will read the manifest and understand what you want to cache in the application cache.
Okay, so these are rules. The manifest contains. I don't work with this API, so forgive me.
Okay.
These are the rules for when, what data I will get from the server and which I could fall back on.
It's not data; it's resources.
What's the difference?
Data can be a raw data. It can be an object, JSON object, etc. What you do with the application cache is you ask for resources. That means HTML files, JavaScript files, CSS files, images. You can cache them into application cache instead of into HTTP caching.
I see. So once you've visited a page, you may not have to go back to the server to get that page.
Yeah.
Based on the rules in the manifest.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
And the third API that I presented was IndexedDB, which is a full-blown database in the client side.
A relational database or object database? No,
it's not a relational database. It's an index database, meaning it's NoSQL something. And that means that you get, instead of tables, object stores that can store objects inside of them.
Okay.
So if you don't like using JSON parse and stringify with local storage, you can go to a data-driven a database in the client side, which is IndexedDB. The problem is it's not supported in most of the browsers.
Oh, which ones is supported?
It's supported in IE10 and the later versions. It's supported in Chrome, in Firefox, but in mobile browsers, most of the mobile browsers do not support IndexedDB.
I see, but the web storage is supported.
Web storage is supported by most of the web browsers in the mobile devices.
Okay, this presents a real challenge for developers. If you want to have a responsive application and have the same code base running both in a desktop browser and on your mobile device, would you just use the lowest common denominator?
Yes.
Or would you try to somehow move data between the two?
I will rephrase that question.
Okay.
I will just think about something else, because once you do web development and once you do mobile development, there is a very big difference between both of those types of development.
Okay.
If you target mobile, then you have to understand that there are a lot of implications for what you are doing.
Mm-hmm.
For example, you need smaller files because mobile web caches only small files. You need to understand that a lot of things aren't supported. So you narrow all of the APIs into a set of APIs that you are going to use in mobile. And this is things that, for example, frameworks like PhoneGap are doing. They narrow the possibilities into APIs that you can use and APIs that you can't use.
Mm.
So IndexedDB isn't supported in most of the mobile.
So why bring down those APIs if you're not going to use them anyway?
Because major sites can use those APIs. For example, I can use web storage or even IndexedDB to hold the cart in a retailer website.
Okay.
And later on, I'm saving the data in the client. Later on, I can retrieve that data from the client. I can save the data both on the server and on the client to have a way to communicate, synchronize the data, things like that. So at the end, there are reasons to use those APIs. First of all, I want connectivity. Or if I don't have connectivity, if I'm in tablet, for example, not mobile, but tablets, then web storage and application cache are both supported by most of the tablets. Okay, so tablets has the connectivity issue. So I can create offline web applications using those APIs, and by doing that, I can give the user better experience. Because if my app is crashing because I need my server, or on the other hand, is doing nothing because I need to save something in the server side, then the user won't be happy,
right?
And I will lose a customer,
right?
So having
this is one of the big challenges of mobile development is this, these occasionally connected systems.
Of course,
you have to code to those.
So those storage and offline options in HTML5 enables you to do stuff offline. And then once you are connected to the server, you have an event called online event that is triggered. So you got online, the event is triggered, do something, save data,
sync up to the server.
Okay. On the other hand, you have an offline event. So if you know that you want to do something once you are offline, then that event is triggered, and you can do things while you are offline.
Okay.
And the third thing in the application cache is navigator object got a new property called online. It will be true if you are online and false if you are offline. It will help you to recognize whether you are online or offline, and then you can branch your code.
Right.
Using that.
Save it to maybe the local database or the local storage.
Or save offline, it to the server.
Or actually send it back to call a web service to push the server online. Very cool stuff. And you're actually building this in the real world. You're using these APIs, building real applications that are heavy on JavaScript and light on server side code. Is that?
I'm doing a lot of backbone development.
Okay.
Lately, and a little bit of AngularJS development. Most of the apps that I build or help to build, as I said, I'm an architect, and I'm not a regular architect. I'm not just talking. I'm really coding and doing stuff with the development teams. Mm-hmm. I never, ever want to be someone that just talk in the air and not.
We say ivory tower here.
Yeah.
Do you have that phrase in Israel? The scholar who sits up in his tower made of ivory and just philosophizes.
I don't want to be a philosopher or something like that. I want to be
the one that
write the code.
Excellent.
Okay, so a lot of things that I do right now it concerns with building infrastructures for apps, for single page apps to a customer, a major customer. Mm-hmm. Again, I can't tell which customer it is. sorry. we are doing cool stuff there.
Very nice. Are you blogging about this? Do you have an online presence?
Yeah.
What is
that? I have a website, www.gilfink.net. And from that website, you can go to my blog. There is a tab that points you to my blog. I have that blog, I think, 6 years. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of posts there. You can see my transition. In the past, I talked about server-side technologies like Entity Framework and how to create a web application using ASP.NET MVC, etc. And today I'm writing a lot about JavaScript, things related to JavaScript or TypeScript or other stuff like that. One thing I'm doing, I've been doing lately, is since I'm very occupied, then I have a series of blog posts called Quick Tips. When I have a small tip that I can write very fast, then I'm writing it and I'm posting it to my blog. And there are a lot of good tips there. You can use them, and I think that you will find those tips very helpful.
We'll put a link to it in these show notes.
Okay, cool.
Gil, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Good stuff.
Thank you. technology helps you meet good friends, like David, for example.